Hey, it's syndicated radio talk show host, author, singer Al Cole welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. I come from CBS. My shows are nationally syndicated, and I've helped pave the way to treating women, guys too, with the dignity that they deserve with my new book, Romance for Women and for All Mankind. You can email People of Distinction at alcoholic at gmail.com. You heard me right. That's alcoholic at gmail.com. And I'd like to thank my fans for dubbing themselves alcoholics, also for the great feedback you've been giving me on my book, my music CD as well. I'm a singer-songwriter and also a musician. It's well expressed in my Captivation CD as well. So keep the accolades coming on that. Very, very much appreciated. Today, a lady that you're really going to love, Diane Cannon. She's a great actress, great producer, and director as well. Diane played Alice in the film Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. She received Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations for her performances, and she starred in the Anderson tapes with Sean Connery, The Burglars, and Such Good Friends, receiving a Best Actress Golden Globe nomination for the last performance. Diane has co-starred with Burt Reynolds, and she was the first Oscar-nominated actress to be nominated in the Best Short Film Live Action category for Number One. And that was a project which Diane produced and directed, wrote and edited. Wonderful stuff there. She also appeared in Heaven Can't Wait and received another Oscar nomination and won a Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actress as well. But, you know, that ain't all. She was also married to the legendary Cary Grant. And Diane's book is called Dear Cary. She writes about such touching things. And, of course, nothing is 100% in any relationship. We know that. And some of the other things come out, too. But we're going to really be concentrating a lot on the positive here and a lot on romance. You know, I wrote the book on it, so I love romance, too. And I love Cary Grant as an actor. We're going to be talking about it all. And Diane is a wonderful actress, too. The two come together that way. And we love it on People of Distinction with Al Cole. Boy, it's such a pleasure to have you here, Diane. How are you today?
Thank you, Al. I'm very good. That was my puppy saying hello, too.
Oh, I love little puppies. What's your puppy's name, Diane?
I have two chihuahuas. One is Matilda, and the other is JC, which stands for Juanita Cita Carmelita Loma Linda Tra-La-La Cohen.
Boy, do I love that. And, you know, I kind of always favored the small dogs, too, so those chihuahuas are all right with me. Boy, that is really great. We're going to get right into it, Diane. With all the great things that you've done in your career, you wrote a wonderful book as well. Dear Cary, what prompted you to write the book about your marriage with Cary Grant?
What prompted me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I waited a long time. A couple of weeks after he passed, Swifty Lazar, the notoriously famous literary agent in Hollywood, called me and said, it's time to write the book, and you can make a lot of money. And I said, no, I don't, it's not the time. And Jackie Onassis came to me about 15 years after that, said, you don't even have to mention Cary in the book. You've got enough to say without him. And I said, no, because he was such a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things that hadn't been healed in my heart about it. And I wrote the book, Al, when my heart had been healed. Romance is a very tricky thing.
Yeah.
Romance can fill you up or screw you up.
Yeah.
And it can do you both. It can do both. And I had a heartbreaking end to a marriage, and I wanted to write a book that I felt would help people with their lives. And I think the reason it's a New York Times bestseller is because people identify with it. I get letters from people all over the blinking world telling me that from 19 to 90, telling me that they've underlined passages in the book because when they have a problem in a certain area, they turn to it to see how I dealt with it. I didn't write a help-to book, but a self-help book, but I did write a book that was a self-help book under romance. And we had the first half of the book, actually two-thirds of it, is just this amazingly beautiful, wonderful ride we had romantically. It was the romance of a lifetime. It was, it's not a bashing Cary Grant book.
Right.
I think people will love him more when they read the book.
I love that.
It shows his heart. It shows
Absolutely.
His heart and how much of a great human being he was. And it also goes into depth about the horrendous childhood he had, which few people know about, and which was the reason for so much of the reason that he had a hard time staying married in his life. That's why I wrote it, Al.
You know, you've laid it down so wonderfully here, Diane, and we want to explore some of what you're talking about right now. You've said that the book touches people, and it really does. You've mentioned Cary as a force, a romantic force, but also a person who had a rocky childhood. And that, you know, made it maybe a little bit hard to enter into some of the highest aspects of this, but still you were able to do that.
Yeah,
and
it took
our
me about
audience 6 really
years.
Wants to understand why. How did you do that? Tell us a little bit about Cary's upbringing that made it an adjustment for you in this relationship, and the way that you did adjust to make it beautiful for you.
Well, when Cary was very close to his mother, I don't want to ruin the book for people. But let me just say that he was, by no fault of his own, told that his mother was dead when he was 10 years old.
Oh, God.
And his father then took up with a younger woman and said there was no room for Cary. So Cary was out on the road at a very young age and found out when he was 30 that his mother was alive.
Really?
And how that happened and how it's shown in the book and what it's about is really a key to the not just the heart of the man, but the mind of the man. And I think that's the reason, one of the reasons, after seeing what can happen to children who feel abandoned or who feel like they haven't had a childhood. I've been working with kids on the street, Al, for years and years and years. As a matter of fact, there's an ABC news special, two-hour news special on this coming Saturday night, the 21st, called Sunset Boulevard, where one of my young girls, that I've been filming a documentary for about 8 years, and one of my 15-year-old girls was murdered. And her story is on this special, as am I.
Wow.
Talking about my work with the homeless and my work with these kids. And I think people will be very, very touched by what they see. But I think that was one of the reasons that I became so active in working with troubled children and children who didn't have a fair shake when they grew up. Cary really didn't, but he managed through great, great trials and tribulations to turn that around for himself.
You know, I share something with you, Diane, right off the bat. I have worked with troubled children myself. Not only do I come from broadcasting, not only do I come from music and speaking background and everything, but I've been out there helping people as well. I've worked with troubled kids in the school system, and it started out with being on board with my own child's education. I entered that. I got on SIT teams, school improvement teams, and I found that people were coming to me for advice. I've been with the National Urban League Education Committee, the United Way, and I found that dealing with kids that have any problems, the first thing that you want to do is you want to empathize. You want to find out what is on their mind. You want to find out about them, the things that matter to them, their values. And kids have them. I don't care how young they are. They know what they feel. And you want to explore the feelings. Am I on the right track there with kids?
Yes. I think what I've found, Al, absolutely. Yeah. They just all want to be loved. It's
right.
As simple as that.
Absolutely.
And I find that with kids, whether it be homeless kids, whether it be wealthy kids, whether it be groups from different ethnicities, it's all about the breakdown of the family. So They just want a pair of arms, and they want a shoulder to lean on, and they want understanding. And that sounds very simple, but just sending money to these things doesn't work. It takes, you know, reaching out and really touching them, literally helping them. And
It really does. And, you know, relating it to your book, Your Marriage with Cary Grant, I find that romance is understanding the beautiful aspects of other people's feelings, even if other people don't particularly see it that way.
Uh-huh.
In our finest relationships, when we love somebody, we can draw out the positive in them, even through a negative background. And we can do that because we love them. And in our love, we are actually generating a certain energy within us that is transferable to the other person. The other person rises to that occasion. And if we show an interest in the other person's feelings, that person will start to really show an interest in their feelings. And we can actually recreate from a negative a very, very positive, loving feeling. Did you go through that sometimes with your relationship with Cary?
Oh, of course, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what I learned, not just with Cary, but with all of life, is that love is the healer.
Yeah.
And that you may not get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You may not get it back, but the trick is to keep loving no matter what. No matter what. Keep your own thoughts centered in love and your own life based in love. And if we do that, it's going to return. Maybe not in the way we expect it, but it will come back. Love is the healer, without a question.
You know, I'm going to ask you something that maybe you haven't been asked before. With acting, you're an actress. Cary was an actor. Did you learn anything from your acting? Did Cary learn anything from his acting that actually contributed to the romance of your relationship, the feelings of your relationship, the escalation of those feelings into really that love that we're talking about right now? Does acting help that way, being in other people's shoes, empathizing that way? Did you find it to be sometimes a positive in your relationship, both being actors?
I think everything I've done in my life has helped me understand love more.
Yeah.
And I think main part about acting is that in acting you have to learn to be, once you really learn to become unselfish, you do your best acting, because to unself oneself is the most difficult thing in the world.
Hmm.
Because we've all been taught to build the ego up. But it's really in the letting go of all that we've learned about ourselves as a person. I don't think until we learn to unself or become unselfish, we can be good mothers, good friends, or good wives.
Mm-hmm. Tell us some of the emphasis, without giving away, you know, a lot of the particulars of your book, but the emphasis of your book, you said earlier, that would make us love Cary even more. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to do because we put him on that pedestal as the actor, as the one who played such amazing roles. I always loved him in the Bishop's Wife, and he played the angel, you know. Roles like that, and we think of Cary Grant as, you know, that perfect man, the one who is loving, the one who is accepting. In your book and in your hopes of how to really capture the loving aspect of Cary, what are some of the things that you would offer the audience right now that you said would make them love Cary even more? What are some of these things?
Well, it's the reading of the whole book. It's hard to pinpoint anything like that because it's a complete... it's from page 1 to page 320. It's the whole package. It's not just one thing. It's like,
mm-hmm.
What would you sum up about life? I'd say life is great. What
right.
would you say about Cary? I would say that whatever it was that disturbed both of us about each other was Well, I can give you one story that just shows how adorable he was.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you the beginning of it because I don't want to ruin it, but I I wound up, because I was naughty, I wound up saying, okay, I'll do anything. I'll wash your cars. I'll clean the garage, but I don't do windows, okay? He was very forgiving, and we walked outside, and I got ready to wash the car, and he turned the hose on me.
Ah.
And I grabbed the hose from him and turned it on him, and all he did was laugh and play and jump up and down with me. He had, you know, he was like a little boy. Like a little boy.
Mm.
But he was that little boy that had been abandoned.
Yeah.
And nobody can make up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's little moments like that, Diane. What are you talking about? You know, squirting each other with the water hose. Little playful moments. You string them all together, all the little playful moments. Now you have a beautiful romance. You have a beautiful relationship. You have memories. You can look back. And those memories are not just in the past. Those memories activate your present, and it's like Carrie is here with you, and it's like that inspiration keeps going on into the things that you're currently doing as well, the things that you want to be inspired by, and these are inspirations that you can give to your audience. You have things that you're doing currently right now that still revolve around love. Is that right?
Oh, everything I do, Jeff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. If it doesn't, I'm not interested.
There we go.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you have coming up right now that you're really proud of and that that you really want the listeners to know about?
I'm working with, at CBS, every other Saturday night, I have a thing called Get Your Love On. People can visit our website, Get Your Love On, L-U-V, getyourloveon.com. And I work with teens, and we take teens' problems, and we address them through music, dance, and rap. And then we have these teens that are sharing their problems, talk to teens all over the world as to how they can, how because of their experience, they can help them. For instance, we have one young man who's 14 years old who has a sister who's a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? Was she a drug addict? Well, because she was raped. And he said she's quit drugs. She's not doing them now, but nobody understands what it's like to be a brother in a family where there, nobody knows what it's like to be in a family where there's drugs going on.
Mm-hmm.
So this teen talks to other teens in the world and how to advise them to get along in a family like that. So what we're doing is just amazing, and I'm dealing with kids that want to make it in Hollywood, that want to be stars. It's very exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I love what I'm doing. And I'm also editing my documentary. My 15-year-old girl that was murdered, Raven, was a girl I met in the streets when she was 11, and she wouldn't trust me for a year. They're very wary of people. And the first thing she said to me was, I wish I was one of your dogs, because she saw my dogs with me and saw the way I treated my animals. Can you imagine a person saying to you, I wish I was one of your dogs, because of the care they saw your dogs being given? I'm editing that documentary, and those two things really occupy most of my time besides my charitable work.
Isn't that? I wish I were one of your dogs.
Yeah,
because
isn't that
you treat
something?
Your dogs with such love.
Right.
Isn't that something? You know, got a few minutes left here, Diane. I want to take it out with reflections on love. I mean, we've been talking about it. And now, some of the ways that we can actually show love, not only in our man-woman relationships, but also in our relationships with our human family. Certain ways that we can generate love out there. And I'll start it out. I think that one of the ways that we can really generate love out there in our relationships with human beings that we don't even know maybe, is to first start it within ourselves. To take some alone time, get to know who we are, and get to reflect on some of our best moments, our real love moments, and say, wow, they can still live within us. If we only take maybe a half an hour a day or something like that to reflect on our love moments and not be bitter, and also to forgive the weakness of maybe some of our lesser than love moments. And when we first forgive within ourselves, now we go out into the world with open eyes, with renewed visions of, wow, I can help that person. I can help that person because I've been there. I've done that. I've helped myself first. And now I can raise other people. I want you to run with that concept and throw in another way that we can really help people to develop love in this world, Diane.
I don't think we can help other people until we help ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't think we really can. Otherwise, it's just preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to learn how to forgive ourselves and others. I spend at least minimum an hour a day being quiet. Minimum.
There we go.
Minimum. And in that time, there's joy and forgiveness and reading and spirit. You know, the spirit of life is what I place all my trust and belief in. And, you know, just little things like a smile at somebody you see wearing a frown in the grocery store. Or helping a neighbor. Little things. It doesn't have to be a big, big deal. Just a little thing. I've smiled at somebody in the elevator that said that smile made my day. Little things mean a lot. They wrote a song about that. That was a good one.
Beautiful stuff there. What a wonderful lady, Diane Cannon. She is an actress, producer, director. You've heard her talk about her marriage with legendary Cary Grant. Her book, Dear Cary, is just a winner. It'll bring tears to your eyes. And we know that in our finest relationships, we have then that capacity to, as Diane said, know ourselves a little bit more. Take that alone time. Take that quiet time. And in that quiet time, we're helping ourselves so much with that love energy, not just the emotion of love, but the energy where we're connecting to that higher self, that higher path within us. And I believe when we do that, yeah, we can love our brothers and sisters.
Oh, you said that perfectly. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. You know, we ought to do another show just on that aspect of higher self. And love energy.
Where it all comes from.
Yes. These are the things that really matter in life. Absolutely. After this inspiring show, if people want to get in touch with you, Diane, and share more of your magic here, how do they do that?
They can go to getyourloveon.com.
Okay.
And I am on Facebook and Twitter. They can join me on Twitter. I'd love to talk with them on Twitter.
That would be great. That is so wonderful.
Or getyourloveon.com, L-U-V.
Getyourloveon.com.
Mm-hmm.
Diane.
That's the website.
Yeah. This has really been a pleasure.
A joy. Al, God bless you and thank you. And I sure hope people take advantage of what you're giving them. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you so very, very much, Diane, and bless you too. This has
been my
pleasure.
Thank you so much, Al.